Hello and welcome to our program. Today we continue in Luke chapter 17. Stay tuned. Reading again Luke 17, verse 3 and 4, Jesus said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." Now, we want to make it clear here that the Bible is very, very clear here that without repentance, there can be no forgiveness. Today, we're living in an age of apostasy where even many in our so-called fundamental independent Baptist circles are dumping this thing about repentance. Jesus said, if he repent, forgive him. There can be no forgiveness without repentance. Now, let me expand on that a little bit. If you offend me, I can forgive you in my heart. Bitter, because the Bible says, if I don't, I'm going to get bitter. So you don't want to harbor bitterness. I would need to forgive you in my heart. But you cannot be forgiven unless you repent. It's obvious. It's so very obvious. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so he said, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. Now, there's three aspects of repentance. Repentance has to do with unsaved people repenting. And then there's the aspect of one Christian repenting toward another, which this verse is talking about, if thy brother trespass against thee. And then the third aspect has to do with a Christian and his or her repentance toward God. So we'll look here at repentance concerning an unsaved person. What happens is the Word of God is preached, or it's read in the Bible, or somebody talks to you about it, maybe a tract, whatever. The Holy Spirit and the Word of God are always in complete harmony. And so the Holy Spirit convicts, the Bible says. When he has come, he will convict the sinner. And so at that point, the sinner has no choice but to choose either to repent or to reject what they're hearing from the Word of God. Now, I was 12 years old when I was saved, and if someone had asked me the next week after I was saved if I had repented, I would not have had a clue what that person was talking about, but I understand it now, because the Bible is very plain that when the Word of God is preached and there is conviction and true repentance takes place, the next thing that happens is a change in the life. Obedience is the evidence of repentance. None of the things that God says to do will be a problem for the person who is genuinely saved. I heard that, you know, you're supposed to be baptized. Oh, I want to do that. What is this thing about church membership? Oh, I want to do that. Oh, giving. Yes, I want to do that. Why? Because all things pass away and all things become new. If there's no change, there's no salvation. It's just that simple. So we have repentance of the unsaved person. Then we have in the Bible, and we're looking at it here in this portion of Scripture, repentance concerning one believer to another. He said, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. The third area is a Christian and his repentance towards God. So we have the unsaved person, his repentance towards God. Then we have the Christian-to-Christian repentance. And then we have Christian-to-God repentance. And I think there's more in the Bible about that than there is about unsaved people repenting. For instance, Job, back in verse 6 of chapter 42 in the book of Job, said, "Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, God had said he's the best example he had on the face of the earth at that time. But if you study the book of Job, you'll see he had a serious pride problem, as do we. And so if he was the greatest, maybe we need to be looking in the Word and letting God deal with our hearts and saying, do I need to repent like Job did of anything in my life? And then in Revelation 2 and 5, the Lord said, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. As I said a while ago, we first get saved. We just want to do everything God tells us to do for that first week or two or month, or when then it begins to wear off, and we leave that first love behind and get on with the pleasures of the world. Well, to that Christian, the Lord says, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works. In fact, in Revelation 2 and verse number 16, he says, repent or else. Repent or else. Now we get to verse number 5. The immediate response of the apostles was, Lord, increase our faith. Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye had faith of a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. Faith. Faith. Now, the disciples made a lot of ridiculous comments during their time with the Lord. He had such mercy and such patience with them as he does with me and you and all of us who call ourselves Christians these days, if we understand things from the Lord's perspective. What mercy. Well, the apostles said unto him, Lord, increase our faith. Now, how is he going to do that? How is he going to increase their faith? I think faith is one of the most misunderstood subjects in the entire Bible. Now, we have the phrase here that says, increase our faith. Now, if we were to ask the Lord to increase the attendance at church next Sunday, and 55 people came that never came before next Sunday, we would say, the Lord increased the attendance. If we were to say, I need some extra finances right now, things are in not in good shape financially, and Lord, would you increase my finances? And you went to your bank and checked, and all of a sudden there was $4,000 in there that wasn't there last week, you would say, the Lord has increased my finances. But when you say to the Lord, increase my faith, what are you talking about? What is faith? Now, we need to understand what faith is and what faith is not. Five times out of the 245 times that the word faith is in the Bible, only five times does it talk about trusting God. The rest of them are talking about what we believe. You know, the Bible says, keep the faith, what you believe. Now, when they were in the boat in Matthew chapter 8, for instance, the Lord said, we're going over to the other side. Well, in the middle of the trip, the Lord was sleeping. The storm came up. They thought they were going to drown. They came to the Lord and said, carest thou not that we perish? What a stupid thing to say to God. And he got up, rebuked the wind, and then he sharply rebuked the disciples. Why did he rebuke them? The boat was full of water, and he rebuked them sharply. O ye of little faith. Now that word there means, the Greek word means to trust. Why didn't you trust me? Well, the boat was going down, but he said, we're going to the other side. When you get to the end of the story, it says they were on the other side. And so he said, you need to trust me. Don't doubt in the storm what God has said in the sunshine. We're going to the other side. Now, only five times does it talk about faith meaning to trust the Lord like that. 240 times it talks about what we believe. What we believe. It talks about doctrine. Doctrine. Now, in 2 Timothy 2, verse number 15, the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, study. What's that mean? It is the devotion of time and attention to acquiring some knowledge on a subject. Study. Then he said, workman. What it mean to work? Work is an activity involving a period of time in a particular place with a purpose to achieving something. And so they're saying, Lord, increase our faith. He says, increase your own faith. Well, I'm going to give you some. How does God increase your faith? You do that yourself. You study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or Or you just say, oh, Lord, you make it happen because I'm too lazy to study. Well, it's not going to happen. It just not going to happen. And so the Bible says in Habakkuk 2 and verse number 4, the just shall live by his faith. It also says in Hebrews 11 and 6, for without faith it is impossible to please him. And that word faith means doctrine. Unless you know the Bible doctrine, unless you study to show yourself approved, a workman that need not to be ashamed, unless you do that, it is impossible to please him. Now in Hebrews 10 and 38 we read, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now that word believe has been translated faith 239 times in the Bible. It's what we believe. And what we believe, it's just so simple. What we believe will dictate how we behave. And so the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith, increase what we believe. No, you increase it yourself. We read in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 14, afterward he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not. And so if we go back to the context here, he had said unto them, take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. And it was after that that they said, Lord, increase our faith. And God is saying, no, if you're going to be forgiving, it is simply putting into action what you really believe. And if we are not forgiving, we are putting into action what we really believe. And then he sums it up, verses 7 through 10, with a message about being a servant for the master. He says, which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle will say unto him by and by when he comes from the field, go sit down to meat, and will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and after that thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I throw not. That word throw has been translated think 33 times. I think not. And in verse 10 he says, so likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. And in the context of what he's talking about here, our duty is if a brother does something to offend us, we need to rebuke him. If he repents, we need to forgive him. Well, in our next program, we'll be looking at verses 11 through 19, where Jesus comes through Samaria, and he meets up with 10 men who were lepers. Be sure and tune in for our program.